I mentioned already the many prayer intentions that we have, condolence and prayer for the eternal rest of our sister Rebecca, prayers for the sick, prayers for people celebrating their birthdays, prayers for the country on this national holiday. But I'd like to focus especially on the scriptures of today. We're continuing our reflections on Christmas. This is the sixth day in the octave, and we are continuing our pondering of the event of the presentation of the Lord in the temple. We started yesterday. We focused on the Holy Family and on Simeon. Today we focus on Anna. Anna is 84 years old, says that she never left the temple. She worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. Since I don't know Rebecca, I don't know if she was like that. But since I just learned she didn't have any children, maybe she was able to devote herself to prayer. In any case, before I say more about Anna, just think of your own experience of going to any parish or any Catholic shrine or chapel or place where people gather for prayer. You can find in every single parish I've ever been in someone like Anna, maybe a handful of them. Older women who are seemingly always there. They get there before you do when they're there for Mass. They get there before the priest. They're there. They stay afterward to pray. They're there for the devotions. They're there for the processions. You might not know their names, but whenever you go to the church, there's Anna, some older, dedicated woman of faith. I can think of a half a dozen of them right here in Las Piñas. If I just think of the parish here, the parish in Philam, I think of our own shrine here, and so many older ladies come to mind, the manangs of the church, or the lolas of the church. So much so that people have the impression, especially young people have the impression, that religion is only for old ladies. Because when you go to the church, there's always a bunch of old ladies there. Of course, that's wrong. And as we see in today's first reading, religion is also for the children, the fathers, and the young men, all categories of people. But for now, let's just focus on Anna. Now that you have in mind people like that, the Annas of your own life, well, actually, you know, the Annas nowadays have suffered even more than many during the pandemic because they were confined to their homes, partly because of the law and because of their advanced age, partly because their children and their grandchildren hold them hostage. They won't let them out of the house. I have mentioned this to a few people lately. The COVID rate has gone way down here in Metro Manila, so the risk of infection is lower now. Seems to me this is a good time to let Anna out of the house and come to Mass. Especially, I think of our new church here, Mother of the Church. It's a brand new church, and it's a very big church, so I think the risk of infection is quite low in a big church like that. Especially on a weekday, so I hope that Anna will come back to the parish, and that the children and grandchildren of Anna will let the Anna go back to Mass, because the harm done to a woman like this, Anna, the harm of preventing her from being in the temple day and night is worse than the risk of COVID-19 at this stage. Okay, here's Anna. You have her in mind. Let's see the description. It starts out by describing Anna as a prophetess. Now, we just heard about Simeon yesterday. Simeon, who is clearly a prophet, and he even makes a number of prophecies. He prophesies that Jesus, the child, the 40-day-old child, will be he'll be a sign who will be contradicted. He prophesies that Mary will be pierced with a sword, but he's not described as a prophet. In this gospel, Anna is described as a prophetess, meaning someone who speaks for God, but we don't have any of her prophecies. Now, I'm sure the scholars have reasons for this, I don't know. It strikes me that the reason, or one reason we can take from this, is that there are two ways to prophesy. One is by words, and one is by our life. Simeon, well, both of them do both, but Simeon, we know some of his words, his inspired words. Anna, we don't know any of her words, but we know her inspiring life. She was constantly in the temple. She worshiped night and day with fasting and prayer. That's about all we know about her, is that she was always praying. And in that way, she was proclaiming the reign of God, speaking for God, inspiring people to God, to rely on God. It says that she was married for 7 years, and then her husband died. So since marriage in those days was quite early, maybe by 14, 15 years old, they were married. So she was a young widow in her early to mid-20s. Doesn't say anything about her children, if she had any. But even if she had children, they'd all be in their 60s by this time. So, but anyway, she is now 84 years old. She's an advanced senior citizen. And her whole life is consecrated to God. Simeon yesterday came to the temple because he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to come at the moment when Jesus arrived. Anna didn't have to come. She was always there anyway. She was there when Jesus arrived, coming forward at that time, and she recognized that the child was the very one she was hoping for. Now, we don't have any record of Anna being told that she would see the Messiah before she died. That's what happened to Simeon. He had that promise in his heart and he was living in hope. Anna is perhaps more like most of us. We don't have any specific event that God has told us to wait for. We have to live in faith, in the darkness of faith, trusting that God is in charge and that he's working things out, whether we see it or not, whether we are told about it or not. That's Anna. She's a great example of someone who lives by faith, consecrated to God in faith. Now, I said a moment ago that people have the idea that religion is for old ladies because of people like Anna. The first reading today tells us that's a wrong impression. We hear St. John in his first letter addressing the children, addressing the fathers, and addressing the young man. He doesn't address the old ladies. I guess he doesn't have to because they're dedicated to God already. But what we can take from this is that people of every age, of all ages, are called to be followers of God, are called to be dedicated to God in their own unique way. Children are more easily drawn to God because they are simpler, but not all children are. Sometimes children they misbehave, they lose their way. Young, then the next category is the fathers. Fathers, of course, are supposed to be representatives of God the Father in their home. Sometimes they're not. Young men, says the young men, have conquered the evil one. They're strong and the word of God remains in them. That's the way it's supposed to be, but sometimes it's not. You know, some young men, they don't think about the word of God and they're not strong. They're slaves to sin. If you follow the development of psychology, you know that psychologists tend to break up the human lifespan into more than just three categories. There's child. Sometimes they have early childhood, late childhood, early adolescence, then early adulthood, and then all the different stages up until the advanced age like Anna, senior citizen. It doesn't matter how many of the stages there are. They're all for God. St. John gives a warning to people of every age group, and it's a warning not to love the world or the things of the world, not to be dedicated to the things of the world because they are empty. They are, what comes from the world? Sensual lust, enticement for the eyes, and a pretentious life. The old translation was lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those things are not going to unite us with the Father. They are not from the Father, they're from the world. And then John says, the world and all its enticements, all its seductions, all its temptations are passing away. So don't be dedicated to them. Learn the lesson from Anna, who knows what's important. She's not concerned with all worldly attractions. She's focused on God. And John says, whoever does the will of God remains forever. Whoever does the will of God remains forever. Meaning, beyond this life, since we have the remains of our sister Rebecca right here before the altar, we say, well, she has passed over from this life to the next. It's her doing the will of God that gives her life in the next world, not the things of the world that might have attracted her. This is true for all of us. We are made for eternal life, not for worldly life. So let us be wise, and with the example of Anna before us, let us dedicate ourselves to God and the things of God.